This is CliffCentral.com.
I love this. This is Childish Gambino. It's Redbone.
Isn't that sexy, huh?
Love the song. But, he's borrowed heavily from the 70s, right?
Oh,
with that beat.
Bow, 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 bow. It's very sexy, though. All right. Who wants to know what's going on?
I have both my hands up. Yes.
Yeah, we've been waiting for my buddy's news for what feels like a year. All right, go for it, Mubs. Hit us. Hit us where it hurts.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off by saying that if you have been engaging in sexual activity over the last few days, I dedicate Kanye West's Champion to you because you are a champion to be having sex in 40-degree weather. Okay?
Oh. Yeah, you're going to lose weight.
Good for you. And the good news, according to the South African Weather Service, is that the heat wave will officially break from tomorrow. In fact, from today, they're talking about a cold front from the west, which is expected to relieve some parts of the country as from today already. The heat wave had struck parts of the Northern Cape, the Free State, the Northwest, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Gauteng. Basically, a great majority of the country was affected by this heat wave. A friend of mine sent me a screenshot of the temperatures in Centurion yesterday. 41 degrees. Stop it.
Woo! That's pass out. It's so hot weather.
Ha! This is why I'm saying you're a champion if you were engaging in sexy time in these kinds of temperatures.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So there is a cold front that's approaching from the west, and it is expected to move into the southern parts of the country. And then temperatures are expected to drop significantly across the country as from tomorrow. That's according to the South African Weather Service.
All right.
Phew. All right, now on to politics then, shall we?
Well, if we have to.
Well, Gareth, we have reset.
We have to.
We have reset the clock, and these people are making news headlines, so it's kind of difficult for us to keep ignoring them. First day back at work for a lot of us. For Cyril Ramaphosa and his top six, this means facing possible court action?
Well, he did pick a bunch of crooks, didn't he?
Well, Ben, I don't know if he had. I mean, he put half of his top six have been questionable. Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't pick them. ANC picked them.
Yeah, they were kind of forced on him, so he doesn't really get to have much of a say on that.
Right.
Now, Cyril Ramaphosa's election as the new leader of the party and that of the party's entire top six could be set aside, and the election rerun, and that's if the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal have their way. The Sunday Independent revealed that Ramaphosa and his top six, as well as the elections agency, now they are the ones who controlled and facilitated the managing of the ANC's voting process.
Oh, yeah?
But the ANC and KZN are not happy with the way that things are done, and they are pursuing some other kind of court action against them, which could, kind of stop them dead in their tracks before they get into the business of things. The Sunday Independent reported that a region in the northwest, which supported Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, is also on the verge of taking legal action.
Ooh.
Yeah. In an affidavit, which will be filed in the Pretoria High Court, Mieni is demanding that the court overturn the election of the ANC's top six elected at the party's 54th National Conference last month, citing election manipulation, fraud, and undeclared conflict of interest by one of the election agency's directors. So it would seem that they are, there's still a group of people who are not happy that Cyril won, and they are adamant that they're going to make it difficult for him to do his job. So they could be possibly facing court action.
Well, I mean, this is what Ben's saying, is he's got this ugly thing to wield now where half the top six are kind of from the other side.
Yeah.
Half the top six are his people, and he has to now make it work. Plus, you've got the president still in place. For how long?
Nobody knows. Is the question.
And you've got the Guptas on the sidelines cheering on certain horses. It's very, very complicated.
What it means is that the ANC are going to be stuck for a whole lot longer, and this is not good news for anybody.
No, it absolutely isn't.
You know, don't think just because the rand has come down against the dollar that, suddenly our economic problems are solved. We've still got massive unemployment. And when instability around things like free education at universities kicks in, we're going to have problems to deal with.
I mean, I've just thought of people that it is possibly good for the opposition.
Yeah.
Only them. It's good for
really,
only them.
I mean, yeah, and not even for, that doesn't mean for us, by the way. It
no.
doesn't mean if you support the EFF or the DA, it's good for you. It doesn't help you at all. It helps them. It gets them power. It gets them votes. It gets them influences. Influence, rather. But it doesn't help you.
No, it sounds to me like it means that things that are supposed to be moving in the cog are actually stuck. Nothing's
exactly
moving,
it.
In which case things don't get
and
done.
And even what Cyril's saying at the moment, where he says things like, you know, Garden of Eden, if we just take land. I mean, what are you talking about, dude? What are you up to? It's kind of ridiculous. All right, what else is happening?
South Africa's parliament said yesterday that they are now going to review its rules relating to removing President Jacob Zuma. And this is after the Constitutional Court said on the 29th of December that lawmakers had previously failed to hold the president to account.
Yeah, well, they've been failing and failing and failing spectacularly over the last 6 years. Now suddenly they've got to do it because they've got the balls, they've got a new leader in the ANC.
Well, this court ruling has also piled pressure on the president and his allies, as his opponents within the ANC are pushing for him to be removed. There's a lot of talk about how Cyril's faction are planning on having the president removed within the coming weeks. You know, again, this is something that we can speak to Justice about, because he'll know better than anybody really.
Sure.
About all these things that are being whispered in the different corridors.
Mm-hmm.
So now Parliament's saying, okay, we're going to review our rules relating to removing the president.
Well, if you want to hear all about it, you can catch Justice Malala right here on the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's Thursday.
Next week.
Oh,
he's
it starts
back
next
week?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
both Rich and Justice are back next week.
Well, we'll have something to fill the space for you on Thursday.
Yes,
trust
we do.
Me. We'll have someone equally smart and competent with plenty of good commentary to give you. All right. Here are a few messages that have just come in. Someone saying about what Anthea had to say about the dark currencies, these cryptocurrencies that are being used for dangerous and dark dealings on the internet. The darkest currency is cash, says somebody. And isn't that the truth? I mean, what did people like Pablo Escobar use?
Sure.
I give Anthea 2 months until she crosses over to the dark side, the cryptocurrency side, says Duncan. Compliments for Sia. I'm a grumpy, cynical 50-year-old white woman. In the past 2 weeks, Sia lifted my spirits with his youthful and positive approach while in the Cliff Central seat over the holidays. And thanks to Ben, to my favorite two people on Cliff Central. Look at that.
Just like in the poll. Yeah.
So there has been a poll that was taken, according to Ben Karpinski, around who the two most favorite people are here at Cliff Central.
When did you have this poll?
It took place end of last year, guys.
Okay. Oh.
And the top two people had to come back and do the first week.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we
and
did.
That was you and Sia.
And it was you and Sia.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
It's so modest.
Mubs and I are very
it,
pleased with that.
I'm thrilled for you.
It takes the pressure off of us.
Thank you.
And I don't question it at all.
Thank
Sia, you are the most pleasant person here, like by far.
That's true.
That's not even debatable.
Ben, ooh.
Well, we're not all competing with each other for attention, I promise. Hey, Gareth, welcome back. My life is complete now that I have you guys back in the morning. I missed you all. I agree that my audiobooks are... I agree, re-audiobooks, but now that you're back, there's no time for audiobooks. I get my fill of 3 hours of you, Sia, Ben, and my buddy. And Ben and Sia did a great job while you were away. I'm glad that you could... I'm glad that loudmouth chick last week is gone. That was Sinazo. We got her. She's a loudmouth chick. I was worried she was going to replace Amanda. Phew. My cats come and jump on the island of my beach pool when I swim. Oh, right. You've got a beach pool?
Oh.
Jeez. I'm going to your house. Yes. Ben and I also use the cold, wet face cloth to keep the cats cool. Not from Emma. That's your biggest fan in Cape Town.
Good call.
All right. And Vaughan in Dubai says, I'm so glad you guys are back. Now the year can start properly. So weirdest thing, says Vaynant, I was in Durban over December and walked past Kolkakios and felt proud when I saw it full of customers. I might be over-invested in this show. That's Vaynut. And Sia said he's used up all his sows for the year in just 1 week last week, says Quentin. All right, Graham says UCT will be the first campus to be burnt down. The Marxists are in full rage and resentment. Filthy socialism. Watch how shit we get. Mm. That's Graham. Because I made a tongue-in-cheek poll this morning of which university you think will go up in flames first in February of 2018. And we're taking those bets. Because I think it's going to be hell.
Yeah, campuses. Graham could have a point because you get a lot of sympathetic leadership. And that's just a very nice way of me saying what it is. So I think they'll be able to run amok these people who want to create havoc.
I feel sorry for the students who've worked really hard in matric and who've worked really hard in their degree up to now and now have to put up with all this shit. It's not their fault. And those are the people who we're expecting to drive the economy forward in the next 10 years. How are they going to get that right when they can't even complete their degrees? Because political interference, they're being used as pawns. All these students are being used as pawns, and it's a small minority of students who will be violent, who will take control of campus, who will be loud, who will intimidate other students. I mean, most of these people just want to go and study something so they can get a job one day.
Exactly. Most students have the weight of the world on their shoulders. You know, a lot of them, they're the first people to make it to university in their families. There's all sorts of pressure on them. They really just want to get in there, get the job done so that they can be productive members of society.
Well, I hate to say it, but I reckon a university qualification is going to be the last thing I look at if I hire people, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, because I'd prefer to look at all the other stuff. Your varsity education is going to be very suspect post fees must fall. That's the truth. I reckon if you got your degree more than 3 years ago, you're still in the clear. If you didn't, I don't know that employers are going to look at that with any seriousness anymore. Campuses have become places of intolerance, places of chaos, and places where people can't study with any real sense of improving themselves. It's kind of just this desperate attempt to get some paper qualification to say that you're ahead. And I read the most brilliant article yesterday by Prof. Jonathan Janssen, who you know I regard as having been the Minister of Education that we never had, the best Minister of Education we never had. And he had some very, very strong words about what's going on in South African tertiary education, and I encourage you to read it. He's written a letter, it was online, to the Matrix of 2017. And I think he says it in a more articulate and erudite way than I am, that this paper means nothing. This matric pass, and I feel awful saying this to the many hundreds of thousands of matrics who managed to pass and who managed to pass well. But even if you passed well, as Prof. Janssen outlines in his article, it's geared to pull the weakest students up, not to make the best students shine. In other words, it's trying to create more equality by bringing the top down rather than the bottom up. So having a matric is nothing. It's not even the beginning. And therefore, for so many people who've got that matric, your proving yourself is only now about to begin. And it might not be at university. It might be in skills. It might be in being able to do something no one else can. Building, plumbing, electrics, creating carpentry. I mean, these are not embarrassing professions. These are not things that you should look at askance. These are terrific skills and trades that may put you in a better position than a law degree or a BA degree or a BSc degree. Really? How many of those people are prospective employers really looking at? You'll have the independence to run your own little business if you're an electrician. If you're a carpenter, decide on your own terms. Make as much or as little money as you want. Hire other people. Can't say that for sure with a BCom degree. Anyway, there's some interesting thoughts on that. You want to talk about the Golden Globes?
Okay. Well, I mean, are we going to listen attentively or are we just going to poo-poo all over them?
Well,
a mix of both.
Let's give them a little bit of credit. They've taken time out of their busy raping each other schedule to congratulate each other for the year in movies and television.
Like, I wonder in like big nights like the Golden Globes or the Oscars, is it like the immunity? It's like, yeah, I molested you, but it was the Oscars. That's like a trade write-off.
Definitely.
Oh,
I think that was Harvey's big yellow card.
There's this great episode of Rick and Morty, I think it's season 2, where there's this lovely, peaceful place. But for one night a year, they get to absolutely massacre each other as soon as the sun goes down.
Boy.
So there's rape and murder and all kinds of things. And it happens one night. It's such an amazing episode.
Jeez.
And I imagine that's what the Oscars and Golden Globes is.
I mean, knowing Rick and Morty, it must have been a very disturbing episode as well.
Massively disturbing, yeah.
Those guys got to be high, right?
Oh.
They have to.
Yeah, we revealed last week it was the fifth most illegally downloaded show of 2017.
Yes.
No surprise there. Yeah.
Now, that's real success in the world of entertainment. All right, so do you want to hear Natalie Portman blowing hard against all the male directors? She says, oh, the whole category is just full of men.
Of course she does.
Because if we just put other humans that had different genitals into the director's positions, we would have had more or less success. I mean, who... What a silly way to look at the world as by demographics. What a way to... I mean, Natalie Portman has done so well. And she's done well because she's Natalie Portman. Because she's a man or a woman.
Yes, Gareth, but she hasn't done well as her male counterparts. And this is what you keep forgetting about humans.
What she's going to tell us. All right, let's listen. Because here she is with... who's this?
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, that's right, the director.
To be here to present the award for Best Director.
And here are the all-male nominees.
Oh, that's her dig. The all-male nominees.
This is what I love most about the Golden Globes, though. So they're the first official awards ceremony of the awards season in Hollywood.
Right.
And apart from all the other award shows where everyone is seated in an auditorium, the Globes are at a dinner table.
Right.
And they pair everyone up according to... It's like the Hollywood club.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is the naughty kids table, and these are like the goody two shoes, and these are like the A-listers,
but also
who are just so perfect.
That means that the up and coming actors and actresses can be under the tables doing things.
Yes.
Oh, no. And then they just get everyone super, super drunk. And the day starts early for them.
It's called a game called
it's
table roulette. What happens is that underneath while the directors, male and female, and all the other people are sitting around the table, there young wannabes under the table pleasuring them. And what the other people do is they try to guess by the facial expressions of the other people around the table who is being pleasured.
Oh.
And then there's money on that.
And that is why it's so hard to produce. Like, get away from table 7, table 7. He's getting blown. Table 8, okay. No, also get away from that table 2. Go to table 3. Meryl Streep.
So the point... The point I was trying to make is everyone is so drunk and tipsy that you get these reactions like, whoa, 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 because everyone has just lost it.
Here's Oprah, who always has some words of wisdom for the world, and here she is talking about Me Too, hashtag Me Too. So she's talking about all the women who've been raped by Harvey Weinstein.
And it is not lost on me that at this moment there are some little girls watching as I become the first black woman to be given the same award.
Because if we didn't have Oprah up there, those black girls wouldn't ever have any confidence. Is that what she's saying? It's all because of Oprah.
Oh, we are not going to take a
How
dig
wonderful.
At the big O. Thank you very
How
much.
Wonderful, Oprah, that you're allowing young black women to be like confident about themselves.
Oprah still got Gail under her table.
Yeah. Stop such nastiness.
It is an honor.
All right.
All right. Thank you. There's Oprah.
Oh, she wasn't speaking about Me Too. Oh.
Well, yeah, she does. You want to hear her talk about Me Too?
Yeah, give the
There was a whole. There was a whole speech, so I can give you a little more since you asked so nicely. Here we go. Oprah, take it away.
That at this moment, there are some little girls watching as I become the first black woman to be given the same award. And it is not lost.
Okay, we heard that already. Sorry. I apologize. It's the same Oprah clip because
okay.
She wasn't repeating herself. It was my fault.
Okay. I guess we won't hear it then.
No.
She was receiving the Cecil DeMille Award, which is...
That's the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, it's for outstanding contributions to the world of entertainment, they say.
A new day is on the horizon.
And there's a car under your seat.
No, not for the rich.
New day finally dawns. It will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men.
Oh, some pretty phenomenal men.
To make sure.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know what? I try to remind myself, like, these people live in such a bubble. They have no idea how much the rest of the world hates them, all standing up and applauding each other like this. Shut up. Just shut up. I'm so glad you have a president called Donald Trump, because he's your problem.
In my head, can you guys not see, like, the flabbing of the arms as she said that? That's all I can
picture. Yeah, the Oprah arms.
I don't know. Was she wearing long sleeves tighter on
those? That's uncalled for, sir.
A new day is here.
Let's all remember that nice picture of her kissing Harvey Weinstein at the same awards festival about 3 years ago.
Hey, y'all have a picture with Oscar Pistorius, so...
Well, we do. Shame. The whole team does.
Yes.
No, but
where
this
is the picture. We just need to frame it. We need to frame it and keep it in the studio.
Oh yeah, the two favorites of the show are in the clear.
Anyway, you could just hear, like, Hollywood would have the biggest multiple orgasm if Oprah became the next president, but it's never gonna happen. So you guys have got to find some reality in all this talking about all these magnificent women. Are these the same women who condescended to allow Harvey Weinstein to abuse them? Are these the same women who would have done anything for an Oscar? Are you talking about them, Oprah? Are you talking about women like you who've achieved everything on your own, who've got ahead, who are exceptional, who are not like every other woman? Stop trying to make it seem like your story fits for everybody. It doesn't. Oprah Winfrey is an incredible story. Not everybody's story is Oprah Winfrey's story, and it doesn't matter whether you're a woman, or you're black, or you're a male, or you're Harvey Weinstein. What matters here is that every individual has a set of talents. You've worked damn hard to make your life. It's not possible for everyone else to be an Oprah Winfrey.
No, Gareth, because in America, you can be whatever you want. What do you fail to understand?
She has done
about
this.
The way that Americans condition their children. This is what they feed them from a young age. They tell them
she's ruined a generation.
It's not just her. It's that whole culture. It's their way of thinking. You can be anything you want. You can do anything you want if you just believe.
This is why
you
America
can achieve
has,
it. It's the American culture.
This is why they've got an opioid epidemic. They're all on antidepressants because goddamned Oprah and other people like her. And Dr. Phil and all of these people in America who keep telling their kids you could be anything you want to be. No, you get a job. Just get a job. Pumping gas or digging a hole or building a fence or something. That's
digging
how you get
hole.
It. You're not going to be Oprah Winfrey. And all those other women and those men in that crowd at the Golden Globes, they're all already in the elite. You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to a bunch of people who think they're exceptional. These are not the I hate this audience. I hate them.
Yeah, you
I mean, they all suddenly have found their... They've all found their morality now. They were all in love with Harvey. They were in love with themselves. They were in love with Hollywood. Hollywood was just this wonderful place where everybody's dreams came true. Now suddenly they're all finding their consciences. Listen to Gary Oldman.
When the curtain came down... on Harvey, and I was flabbergasted and shocked only because fortunately he was never in my orbit.
Wow.
And we met him 92.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me the creeps and I said, let's not work with that guy.
Well, you didn't want to warn a whole bunch of other women before they ended up in his orbit, as you put it. Thanks, Gary Oldman.
Sorry, were there drunk people chanting?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It was Oprah.
It is.
That was Oprah.
Delightful. Gary, I'd like to see you next to me in the urinal. What do you got to say about Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
Well, there's more sex assault news.
No, wait. No. Before you carry on, I just want you to hear Reese Witherspoon. She's irritating, but she does a really good Oprah impersonation. I think this was the only reason. If you do watch the stupid Golden Globes, then maybe you should watch it just for this, to see Reese Witherspoon doing her Oprah impression. All right,
listen to this. Oprah impression. You get a Golden Globe, and you get a Golden Globe, and you get a Golden Globe. Thank you.
Get a ride home.
Take it back.
You get a ride home.
No, please, please.
That's actually
Reese.
A crap impersonation.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Dreadful. Yeah, so Harry Styles has been sexually assaulted.
By whom?
Sexually assaulted.
A man or a woman?
Well, he was performing on stage, and yeah. he went right up to like the edge,
yeah.
and there were all bunches of screaming girls, and he stood with his crotch
yeah, well, what do you
splayed
think?
Out a bit, and then yeah. there were hands, and then one of the hands brushed against his genital area.
Now he's claiming assault.
Outrage, oh. sexual assault.
All right, hold on.
Back in the 70s and 80s, that was just called rock and roll.
Yeah.
Mm. And generally...
Tom Jones got off on that. Part of the reason he got into music.
Tom Jones had to have women like pulled out of his pubic hair for such things. I mean, they actually had to stop the show while they used to just the jaws of life would unclamp these women's hands. And Harry Styles, this Kellick, it was a slight brushing of the trouser
Can
area.
Can I just say that I have been to a ladies' night. I had a friend who used to do these things, and I stood up in the gallery while I watched. I've never seen such bad behavior. I've been to strip clubs a lot in my life, but I've never been to a ladies' night before. Women are way more badly behaved than men. And women reach for everything.
Mm.
And they grab it with both hands.
Mm.
And they scratch and they bite and they push each other out of the way with force. If men behaved like that in strip clubs, the places would be shut down immediately.
Yes, they would.
So how does Harry Styles reckon it's not his fault for going up to the front of a crowd of screaming, obsessed, maniac girls and affronting them with a within arm's reach crutch grab opportunity? What does he think's going to happen? And then he's claiming assault, or are other people? Because if he's actually going out there saying, I was assaulted, then we should immediately crush him under a large boulder.
Oh.
No, but the narrative now, Gareth, is that the same rules have to be applied for men and women, right? So if it was Rihanna who was on stage and some guy groped her swimsuit area,
uh-huh.
it would be massive outrage.
Yeah.
So the rules now of the current narrative is that, well, the same rules have to apply for Harry Styles because same thing happened to him. He probably didn't want to have his genitals groped, and that is why he is saying that he was sexually assaulted.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, this, because, again, it's always the whole gender balance switcheroo.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It's tricky. But then, you know, will these young girls go to the concert again this year, next year, the year after?
They will always be there because they are duped into being there by marketing and bubblegum music.
Sure, but if they can't get a cheeky little grope at the front, then what's the point of a Golden Circle ticket?
Yeah, exactly. That's what those girls got there for. They weren't there to hear that stupid song of his again.
They've heard the songs enough. They're in it for the wiener. That's all they're in it for.
They're in it for the wiener.
In fact, that girl has told every single person she knows. In fact, if you want to look her up, she's probably on social media right now crowing about it. Just let her have her moment.
And she tattoos the names of the people she's groped on her fingers.
Right. She's probably a professional. What? She's got all five of the One Directioners. Here's an interesting comment from Gary. He says, Gareth, all these stars are so full of shit. They're masters at virtue signaling. I mean, Oprah knew what was going on, and now she's giving an emotional speech like she thinks it's wrong. Please. Yeah. Oh, yes, Ben, Black Mirror, please talk about that some more.
I can't. I'm just gathering myself.
I saw so many people complain that they're quarter too screwed up by Black Mirror.
I'm composing myself. We watched an episode of The Weeknd, but it was actually one of the happier ones.
Oh.
It's got to do with dating. It's so clever. So clever. And, so we're steadying ourselves for tonight. It's going to be one of the more hardcore ones.
Oh, really?
This new series of Black Mirror, Gareth, you've got to get into
Everybody's telling me it's just crazy.
It's just, Also started watching The Crown, and I find this show so fascinating because Philip, how did this guy not get STDs?
Oh, was he?
But like tropical big ones that they haven't got words for yet. And have like shades of magenta and puce rolling into. So, you know, like Philip is admired by certain tribes around the world. He's got like this cult status.
He's a god in Tuvalu or something.
Yeah, that's probably because he's been fathering children there for like these tours.
Oh.
So The Crown season, I think it's two, starts off with basically this 5-month tour that Philip has been put on in order to kind of come to terms with his royal duties. But him and his mates are just going to all these like islands.
Okay, but you know this is not historically accurate.
Well, Gareth, it's based on stuff. I mean, where there's smoke, there's Philip.
Stuff.
Where
Ben,
the smoke
they treated funny. Harold in the latest season. You're talking about season two here.
Yeah.
They treat Harold Macmillan like he's some kind of simpering idiot. He was actually not a terrible prime minister, and they're very unfair about his wife's affair. She did have an affair, but they make it look like he was this completely incompetent hack who was part of, you know, Anthony Eden's fall and all of that stuff. He was a pretty competent prime minister. They don't get it all right. There's a lot that they use license.
Politics.
I mean, the conversations between the Queen and the Duke of Windsor. Nobody knows what those conversations were except the Queen and Duke of Windsor, and one of those is dead.
Gareth, I'm not disputing that kind of stuff.
So unless the Queen has been involved in script writing, it's not true.
Philip was on tour for months on end at sea with seamen.
Yes,
and all he did was he went to these islands, and what do you do in islands?
Yeah, I mean, what else are you going to do?
It was just him, and they all had this code that no one, you know, what goes into a stays into a. Philip invented that saying.
All right, but you're enjoying the show.
He had a great series. He had a tattoo on the base of his back.
I got to tell you what I'm amazed by in that series, because I watched it before Christmas, is the woman who plays the Queen. She manages to get that voice.
Yes,
exactly,
the voice is so good.
Exactly right.
And the woman who plays Margaret is drunk all the time, which is exactly
how
right.
Margaret was. In fact, if you listen carefully, you can hear the ghost of Princess Margaret lugging up a crate of brown ale up the back stairs of Kensington Palace. Listen, do you hear it? Yeah, there it is. All right, let's go to the lines. There's a couple of calls that are waiting, and we want to hear what you're thinking and what you're up to this morning. Good morning. CliffCentral.com. Hi. Hello, who's this?
Hi, David.
Yeah?
Hi, Yaku here.
Yeah, Yaku.
From Oudtshoorn. Listen, am I on email?
Yeah. And Oudtshoorn and you guys have only been using phones for the last 3 years, so let me assure you we can hear you.
That's right, we're still waiting for our cell phones, but right. We're on the landline this week. But listen, I had a terrible experience before the weekend. My wife told me that, remember the line, that Sally Field had in the 80s? I saw that video about 10 years ago where she had a line when she received an Oscar for, Places in the Heart. And maybe you'll remember this. She said, to the audience, you like me.
You really, really like me.
Do you know that line? Fantastic. I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're going
to... Wow, Yaku, I got to tell you, you're a great storyteller.
But now, listen to this. When you go look at that line, when you search for it on YouTube, that line doesn't exist anymore. And the line now is... And so many people make fun of it. So many celebrities make fun of it whenever they fetch a reward. They said, you like me, you really like me. But now the line is, you like me right now, you like me. As true as God, I...
So what do you think? What do you think? Is this some conspiracy? They changed Sally Fields?
No idea. And they call it the Mandela effect. And I looked at it over the weekend. They call it the Mandela effect because somebody came up with the fact that they remember in the 80s that Mandela died, and they saw the funeral on TV, and they saw the widow speaking, and then in a few years later, Mandela was released, and he died in what was it, 2013. So that's what they call it, is the Mandela effect, and there's quite a few. And I'm not a Star Wars fan. I've never watched the movie, but I know the line where Darth Vader said to Luke that I'm your father. It's another example. So how does the line go? I'm sure you do know.
Are you, with this Mandela effect, what you're talking about is that people have alternate realities in their head that they believe actually happened.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
Something like that.
So with the Sally Fields thing, you're saying that the quote wasn't what we remember it was. It was actually different.
Exactly.
And with the Nelson Mandela example, that people really believed an alternate story had happened, and now they think that that's the fact.
The Nelson Mandela doesn't bother me that much because maybe you got fake news 20 years ago as well, or 30 years ago. So
definitely.
Who knows? So that doesn't bother me, but I know for a fact that Sally said, you like me, you really like me. She didn't say, you like me right now. You like it. Wouldn't be that funny, and we may judge you know, my wife and I for the past 10 years to each other, it was a common saying in the house, you like me, you really like me. So we use this often. But listen to this. Darth Vader never said, well, according to, if you look at videos now, never said, Luke, I am your father. He said, no, I am your father.
Yes, and correct.
So many people believe that it was Luke.
All right. Listen. This is terrific, Yaku. I think many people may have fallen asleep during the course of your and my conversation, but at least you and I have enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thanks, man.
Okay, cool.
All right. Happy New Year, Yaku.
Yeah,
right.
You too, man.
Here, just to remind everybody of what he's saying, here's the actual scene from Star Wars that people think, I am your father. Luke, I am your father. It doesn't go like that. Here's how it really goes. Yeah. It's actually the following line is the line where Vader says to him, I am your father. I'm sure I've played it 100 times for you. You've heard it, right?
I've heard... I know, Luke, I am your father, but I've never watched any of these movies, bear in mind. I've just heard it from people quoting it.
Let's cast our minds back. By the way, if you've seen The Last Jedi, I want to hear what you think of that, too. I suppose we've got past the point now where we have to contain ourselves for spoiler alerts, right? Don't you think, Ben? Isn't it about time? There's some lightsaber dueling. There we go. This is the moment.
There's no escape. Don't make me destroy you. Luke, you do not yet realize your importance. You have only begun to discover your power. Join me. And I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy.
I'll never join you!
If you only knew the power of the dark side, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So how did we get to Luke, I am your father? No. Was it a meme?
This is what Yaku's saying, is that you have these alternative realities and then that becomes the truth just because it's repeated so many times. So he actually made a very interesting point about how we don't necessarily, we consider something to be true, but actually it's an arbitrary thing that we've just carried over and nobody's bothered to go and check whether that's what actually was said. And I do remember Sally Field going, You like me. You really, really like me. I thought, what a stupid speech. The worst speech was that Anne Hathaway one. Do you remember that?
Oh, of course she cannot do any good.
I'm biased against anything Anne Hathaway says.
My buddy would stick a heel in that woman's temple if she was in the same place as her.
I really have to learn to try and be objective. Look, she's a good actress.
Oh, I don't even know about that.
I think she's a good actress.
Really?
I think that's...
I don't like it when she's not spewing out lines in her script. When she spews out her own words, that's when I get irritated.
When she actually engages her own brain, you start getting concerned for her health.
What was that speech? Which one?
You haven't heard it? Let me see if I can find it quickly. It's so bad. Anne Hathaway's speech.
Was it about herself and...
Yeah, it was whiny.
And
it was whiny.
No, it was bad. It was really, really bad because she started getting all... let me just find it quickly. It's so awful.
See, that's why Oprah was good.
Yeah,
she flapped her arms around.
Those Oprah arms. I'll tell you what, she started a breeze. Anne Hathaway.
Apparently bingo wings is what those arms are called.
Yes.
Bingo wings?
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah.
Don't you tell me stop. You are flapping about Oprah's wings here.
I'm sure
they're so disrespectful. Kindness and love. You mean it with love.
Oh, is that what it is
then? You're taking a jab.
It's power. There are power in those flaps. What are bingo wings? Like when you're playing bingo?
No, I mean like... Because
I don't get it.
Maybe it's like when you play bingo, the people who play bingo are old and quite, you know, rotundish. But if you then declare your bingo wing, then your wing comes up.
Yes.
has bingo wings.
Yeah. And at that age, their skin is all wrinkled and sagging, yes. So it's hanging. Yeah.
So there goes the bingo wing.
Okay. That is the term of the day.
This is Anne Hathaway when she won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actress years ago.
Blurg. Thanks for that word, Tina. Oh my gosh. This is happening. To the Hollywood Foreign Press, thank you so much for having me in this room full of extraordinary artists that have changed my life with their work. Thank you for this
pretending for
lovely,
a living
blunt object that I will forevermore use as a weapon against self-doubt. And thank you for putting me, my work, in a... this category with
this
great and gutsy actresses, Amy Gump,
she,
and grew up.
She gets all sad.
And... this, 7 a.m. And by telling everyone that when I was crying on set, you were crying right alongside with me. I won't tell anyone. You were everything to me and my husband. Honey, you make every day better than the last, and thank you for the best ring of yesterdays I have ever had. I love you.
Okay, it's not that one. She's, that one was very, very... That was together. She was much more shit. Hang on. I'm going to find this if it kills me.
Although, that is a cute line, though, to husband.
In hindsight, though, when Sally Field got up and she said, you like me, you really, really like me.
Yes.
Isn't that what all Hollywood is about?
I yes, mean, these people, they just want to be loved.
They all just want to be liked.
That's right.
And these award ceremonies are confirmation of when they are being liked.
Correct.
Sally Field was, you know, she was ahead of her time.
Thank you so much to the Academy for this and for nominating me with Helen Hunt, Jackie Weaver, Amy...
Come
and
on.
For nominating me with Helen Hunt,
yes.
Jackie Weaver, Amy...
Get on with it.
Someday...
No, it's not. I can't find it now. It's going to drive me crazy.
Okay, you know what? It's fine. We don't need to hear it.
Yeah. And just trust me, Anne Hathaway's annoying. All right? Just trust me.
So Anne Hathaway is annoying. Reese Witherspoon is annoying. Oprah is annoying.
Reese Witherspoon is really annoying, though.
Hey, did you see this?
Gary Oldman is annoying.
There's going to be a shitstorm today because H&M published some, you know, they have put out these ads, like these pamphlets, these, what do they call them, like catalogs.
Brochures.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They're the clothing store, right?
Right. H&M's the clothing store. It's got this little black kid wearing a hoodie. And he looks like he's got tons of attitude, and it says coolest monkey in the jungle on the front of that, and you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a shitstorm about that, because everybody's going to say, oh, monkey, here we go, Penny Sparrow again.
Uh-oh.
So you know what's going to go down there. Just a forewarning. Stay out of it. Gareth, can you please give us your views on the bullshit that the guest presenter spoke about Israel last week? Sia can fill you in as he was agreeing with everything she was saying. Duncan. I don't know what that's about. Who? Are we talking about Sinazo?
Everything that she was saying.
We were talking about desalinization in Cape Town, and I was saying that, you know, there's a various conspiracies around it, and then she said, well, one of it's because it's Israeli technology, so therefore we shouldn't have it because Israel supports apartheid. To which, well...
Yeah, well, that's just, I mean, shame. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I don't have an opinion on that.
Well, it's part one.
Maybe I should listen to it.
Maybe rather listen to
it. Yeah, you know what?
Because you know that whole alternative reality thing that we're talking about.
Correct.
Listen to our own words.
Don't we want a solution for Cape Town? Do we care where that solution comes from? We're in a country.
That was kind of my
question. We're in a country where our president just tried to force through a deal with the Russians to do nuclear energy, which would have put three generations going forward of this country's young people into debt. We would have been in deficit forever because of this. And nobody seems to bat an eyelid, but now suddenly we've got people who are principled against Israel. Let me tell you, I would boycott Palestine because they're as much guilty of this Arab-Israeli conflict as anyone else, except there isn't anything to boycott because they don't produce anything. So before anybody gets on the high horse about Israel, let's just remember, I mean, not so long ago we had the ambassador to Israel in here and he told us about some of the things that Israel does with South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
These are an ally of ours. Israel's an ally of South Africa. And we obviously have support, and in this country there's a lot of support for Palestine. There are people who believe that there is some kind of apartheid going on there. I'm not of that view. I don't buy into it, and I'm not reading propaganda, and I'm not part of some conspiracy theory. I try to pay attention to as many different news sources as possible. As far as I can tell, Israel's the kind of country who would offer us something, that we would want to be in partnership with. And if it's desalination, we should listen to them because that's how they get their water and tons of it. If Palestine come up with some great idea, then we'd be willing to listen to them too. But so far, zilch. That's all I have to say on that front. And if Sinazo had different opinions, I don't know what her opinions are. I'll need to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe
I mean, these things happen because, you know, different people care about different things and prioritize.
Well, you see, again,
one thing I got to
blame Oprah.
Stop. It's not.
It goes back to the big O. No,
because
okay.
Oprah says, you have Oprah. To. Here's what she says. These are exact words. She says, you have to live your truth.
Yes.
Now, by telling people that they can have their truth, what she's doing is she's giving idiots room to think that the truth is something subjective, that your truth means that there are a lot of different available truths, when in actual fact there are some solid objective truths, things like gravity, things like the earth is round, things like our atmosphere contains nitrogen and oxygen and small amounts of the inert gases. Those are not things that are Sia's truth, Mabali's truth, Garrett's truth, or Ben's truth. They are the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are called your opinions. Yes, you can have opinions, but they're not truth. And that's why Oprah is bad.
Is because she's telling us. Towards me.
Of course, I'm pointing it at you. She's your mother. She said that it's your truth. It's not. It's just your opinion.
But Oprah doesn't mean that she wants to redefine gravity.
Yes, what, she does.
What she's saying by your truth
she's
is
a very ambitious woman. She wants to change our.
She can. If she puts her mind to it. She can change the gravitational laws. But she's saying live your most authentic, fulfilled, and
just don't use the word truth because truth already has a meaning and you can't change that one, Oprah.
But it's your. Truth in your life. Live an authentic life. Not
then use the word Newton's authentic life. Don't say truth.
Yeah, her tagline is live your best life.
Well, I mean, that's it at the end of the day, isn't it? Is Oprah is in the business of being inspirational, motivational.
Living your, yeah.
That tagline sounds good. Therefore, it worked in her favor.
Yeah.
So then, can we just admit that it was just a good marketing tactic?
There we
or
go.
Or it was something that is what she and truly look how many believes people, in and she changes
look how many
the world.
People, dumb, impressionable people have fallen for it and now they think that the truth is something they can make up. That's what I have a problem with. Like, I don't mind opinion.
Who are these everybody's dumb allowed, people you're thinking of?
Everybody's allowed an opinion, but you don't have a separate truth to the truth. The truth is, if you want to desalinate Cape Town, the best people to listen to are...
people who are already doing it.
The Israelis.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's got nothing to do with your truth or my truth. And if Palestine was doing desalination, we'd be all ears.
Look, I actually really liked having Sinaz on the show because she had a very different kind of way about stuff. So our conversations were interesting. She had a very different take on things. She was very informed on local politics, like the Fees Must Fall movement, all that kind of stuff. It's great having these conversations.
She's smart. I
it's
mean,
the only way we get closer to the truth, and I agree with you, Gareth, because truth isn't something that just rises and falls like Bitcoin. Truth is truth.
So you've got to have something to rely on.
And we all get right. to it, and we
listen,
have
listen, enough of this. It's been a very, very busy, very action-packed, very energetic start to the year, and we'll be here all week to keep you company. We've got some great guests coming in. Mm-hmm. In fact, this week, Jay Something's going to come and visit us.
Oh, is he bringing food? Is he bringing food?
You see, well, Ben.
Is he bringing his cookbook?
We're all thinking it.
He's just put out a book called Something's Cooking, which apparently is selling like hotcakes all over the country. I saw it at Exclusive Books in the airport at number one. So we'll find out what he has to say about his cookbook. We'll catch up with him about what's that show that he was on with Brent?
My Kitchen Rules. Africa. He has a restaurant as well named
The launch of that. And we're going to find out about how Mikasa's been doing because I'm sure they've been digging up a storm over the December holidays.
Timbiwa is also coming up this week as well.
Great.
Tons of different guests.
He's a great guy to have to start the year. Well done.
Yeah. He's got his book out already, doesn't he, right? Mm-hmm. Magna Carta or something.
That's right.
That's what it's called.
Looks very Zhuzh.
I'm excited. So there's lots to look forward to. Let's get to the unnews for this morning. It's back to work for just about everyone in 2018, including Cyril Ramaphosa in his top six. The only problem is that most of them have some court time ahead, with many charges awaiting them, proof that the ANC leadership is consistently in the right direction, allowing the criminal cream to always rise to the top. The Golden Globes took place last night, and with that, many celebrated actors and actresses received awards and applause. After that, the lights went out and they all raped and attacked each other for 20 minutes before regaining composure for champagne and interviews with the press. And finally, the Ashes have just finally finished, and with that, the Australians have won the series 4-0. It would have been 5-0, but the Melbourne pitch was dreadful and could only produce a draw. The pitch is about to be cut up and flown to Buckingham Palace next week and will receive an OBE from the Queen. Isn't that nice? All right, we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Coming up, an interview with John Sané, who we spoke to not so long ago. Also, some motivation, some thought to start the year. Precisely the right kind of stuff to get you in the mood for 2018. Are you ready?
This is CliffCentral.com.